Macmillan Audio presents Newsroom Confidential, Lessons and Worries from an Ink-Stained Life by Margaret Sullivan. Read for you by Lisa Flanagan, with an introduction from the author.
Author's note. Sections of this audiobook describe my experiences at the New York Times and the Washington Post, where I was writing blog posts and columns at a rapid clip, sometimes as often as 3 or 4 times a week. I draw on those published pieces here, sometimes by directly quoting from them, and sometimes by summarizing or paraphrasing. I also rely on the scores of journals I've kept for more than 5 decades. Starting at age 10, when my father handed me a blank 1968 date book that I decided to use as a diary. Prologue. On January 6th, 2021, the COVID pandemic was still raging, and amid the lockdown, it had been months since I had set foot in the Washington Post newsroom or covered a story in person. That once bustling D.C. newsroom was largely shuttered, along with the smaller New York City office where I often worked, and most of us, reporters, editors, and columnists, were working from home. Like almost everyone else, I watched Donald Trump's Stop the Steal rally and the horrifying riot at the Capitol that followed on TV. What started out looking like just another raucous rally turned downright frightening as a violent mob stormed the barricades. Even though I was safe at home, I could easily imagine myself there, because both the Ellipse, near the White House, and the Capitol were less than a mile from where I had lived as Trump's presidency began. And I know what I saw, one of the most appalling moments in all of American history. Unlike the attacks on 9/11 decades earlier, this was an attack from within, incited by a defeated president who demanded that his vice president, Mike Pence, do what should have been unthinkable in the world's greatest democracy: reverse the results of a legitimate presidential election and give the loser an unearned second term. The news coverage, of course, was wall to wall, even on Trump's favorite and most dependably supportive outlets, Fox News and One America News. You couldn't live in America and fail to understand what was happening. But it didn't take long for denialism to take hold. On that very day, at the pro-Trump network, One America News, a supervisor reportedly ordered his staff to ignore the obvious. "Please do not say Trump supporters storm Capitol. Do not call it a riot." By the spring, a Republican congressman would describe the violent attack as something that looked like a normal tourist visit. By October, even the former vice president was trying to sow doubt. The rioters may have been chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," and they may have erected a symbolic gallows. But when Sean Hannity interviewed Pence on Fox News, the vice president downplayed the insurrection as merely one day in January. He accused the mainstream media of giving it too much attention and of trying to demean Trump supporters. This revisionism is working. As I write this, many months later, public opinion polls continue to reflect the nation's ugly divide and the refusal of many Americans to accept reality. Most Republicans believe, or say they believe.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?